Fans, it's great to have you back with us before the Giant game today. It is a beautiful, beautiful day in the Bay Area. We're joined by an author. His name is John Weeks. His book is The Umpire Was Blind. What a great title. John grew up in the Capital District region of New York State and graduated from the State University of New York in Albany. He's the author of 7 sports biographies and 2 novels. His latest book, The Best of the Bruins, Boston's all-time great hockey players and coaches, was released in January through McFarland Press. He's been a lifelong fan of both baseball and hockey. And the book we're going to talk about today is published by McFarland, and the name of it is The Umpire Was Blind. I love the title. John Weeks, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, Marty. How are you?
Well, we're doing well, and I appreciate having you on to talk about this book. Why this subject for you? Where did this come from? And, of course, we know your hockey background and everything else. You're a baseball fan, too. But how come an umpire? Why did you choose that?
Well, anyone who's watched a baseball game on TV, they've seen the computerized strike zone that gets superimposed over the home plate. These are considered highly accurate, but after sitting at home and watching a couple of umpires blow dozens of strike calls per game and sometimes shouting at the TV, I decided I wanted to write a book skewering umpires for the terrible calls that they make. But
right.
When I started doing the research, I actually started to sympathize with these umpires. Because it is true that they missed the calls, especially behind the plate. A professor at Yale University once conducted a 3.5-year study analyzing over 1 million pitches thrown in the majors. And he found the overall accuracy rate of home plate umpires is about 89%. And that's not great, right?
Well, you'd like it to be about 98%, but we're going to get to that issue and how that we can get there. But what was umpiring like in the early days of baseball? And, of course, I read these stories about one umpire being on the field and runners cutting across the infield and things like that, and umpires really were not held in high esteem. What was umpiring like in the early days of baseball?
So in the early days, they would get fans throwing everything from mud balls to beer bottles at them. The stadiums were a lot smaller, and they were built of wood. And at least 4 major league parks were destroyed by fire. The umpires' dressing rooms, they were cramped and usually under the stands. Helmets and shin guards weren't even heard of until the 1900s, but they did have their chest protectors and masks, at least. The rules were strange by today's standards. Before 1893, the pitcher's mound was 50 feet from the home plate. Foul balls weren't counted as strikes until 1901, and balls bouncing over the fence into the stands were counted as home runs until 1929, and there was no infield fly rule. And the umpires also, they mostly worked alone, and they had to cover the entire field by themselves, which the players took advantage of.
One of the great umpiring calls is Merkel's Boner of 1908 that involved the Cubs and the Giants of a runner not going to second base and touching it as the winning run scored. But the part of it is, and I'm thinking about umpires, it's 1908, a ball somehow was retrieved somewhere from the grandstand and thrown near second base, and they touched the bag. And the umpire ruled that the runner was out, and then, of course, it had to go to the league commissioner, the league president, to verify that. But can you imagine the chaos in a game like that in the Polo Grounds with all the people on the field and trying to retrieve a ball and having one or two umpires involved?
Oh, I know, and especially back then, too, with little to no technology.
Yeah, amazing. Did you have a favorite historical umpire? I think of, Hank O'Day, Bill Clem, of course, is famous as well, and we love Eddie Montague here. But did you have a favorite historical umpire?
So my favorite historical umpire would have to be Tim Hurst. He served from 1891 to 1909. He was actually one of the shortest umpires in history. He was 5'5", and his nickname was Tiny Tim. He had trouble seeing over the heads of the players, but his size didn't matter because he was one of the most feared and respected umpires in the major league.
Did he get into a lot of arguments?
Oh, yeah. When catchers complained too much, he got into a habit of kicking them in the back of their legs as a ball was headed to the plate. He said it was a good way to get them to shut up.
Right, very good. All right, Tiny Tim Hurst. In the book, which is called The Umpire Was Blind, there's a lot of good examples of umpiring over this long period of time of baseball history. And you come up with the top five worst umpiring calls in history. Tell us about it.
The worst call in history would have to be June 2nd in 2010, and it was Armando Galarraga's near-perfect game. So he was one out away from pitching a perfect game against the Indians with two outs in the top of the ninth. Jason Donald hit a grounder between first and second base. Miguel Cabrera fielded the ball and flipped it to him at first in plenty of time. Donald was out by a half step. Then Cabrera stood there, stunned, with his hands on his head. And, you know, the other one just smiled and walked slowly back to the mound. The next batter grounded out. So what should have been a perfect game ended up as a one-hit shutout. And there have only been 23 perfect games in history to date. So if it wasn't for this, then this would have been a huge deal. When they looked at the replay after the game, he had a meltdown in the umpire's locker room. He ended up receiving death threats, and the MLB actually had to assign him a security crew.
Wow. Jim Joyce, I remember, nice man. I remember meeting him and always was very cordial. A nice man, Jim Joyce. All right, that may be the worst. Go ahead, give us another one.
All right, so another one. Game one of the 1970 World Series is the Reds versus the Orioles. So the game was tied at 3 in the bottom of the 6th. And the umpire, Ken Burkhart, made one of the most ridiculous calls in history. So the Reds had Bernie Carbo on third with one out, and they had their pinch hitter, Ty Klein. He hit a high chopper in front of home plate, and three bizarre things happened on this play. Burkhart positioned himself directly in the base path, so Carbo was forced to slide around him. Okay. Then the Orioles catcher, Hendricks, fielded the ball cleanly, but he tagged Carbo with an empty glove. And then Carbo completely missed the plate when he slid in. Burkhart was literally facing the opposite direction when Hendricks tagged him, but made a blind call anyway, ruling him out. There's a famous picture of Hendricks with his back to the play making the call. And the Reds ended up losing the game and the series because of this one call.
Well, I remember that one, Ken Burkhart. Of course, that was the Brooks Robinson World Series of 1970. Brooks was the MVP of that series, and the Orioles came back to win that World Series. All right. There must be, I think there's a Kansas City Royals St. Louis Cardinal one in there somewhere, isn't there?
Yes, that's the one I have next. So this was Game 6 of the 1985 World Series. Cardinals were up 1-0, and they were on the verge of clinching the series in the bottom of the ninth at their at the Royal Stadium. So then Kansas City's Jorge Horta, he hit a routine grounder to first, and that was to Jack Clark. He fielded the ball, and he flipped at the pitcher Todd Worrell, and plenty of time to nail, but the umpire, Don Dechinger, another really good umpire in his day, straight up blew the call, ruling it safe. Things totally fell apart for St. Louis after that as the Royals, helped by a dropped foul ball on a wild pitch, rallied to win the game 2-1. They ended up clinching the series the next day with an 11-0 blowout. Hmm. The scary part of this is that a pair of St. Louis's DJs thought it would be funny to broadcast Denkinger's address and phone number over the air. He ended up getting death threats and tons of obscene phone calls.
Well, I remember that. That was the Joaquin Andujar meltdown in Game 7. I remember that one. All right. Those I remember easily. I think they come to mind for me. Give me one more. Let's see where you go with another one.
So we've got Game 1, 1996. This is the Yankees versus the Orioles. This was in the American League Championship Series. So Yankees were down 4-3 in the bottom of the eighth, and Derek Jeter, you know, shortstop, he was at the plate. He was batting against the Orioles. They had Armando Benitez as their pitcher then. Jeter launched a deep slider right field, Tony Tarasco settled under the ball and was about to make the catch when a 12-year-old fan named Jeffrey Bader reached over the wall and deflected the ball into the stands. So the fans are allowed to keep the balls that are hit into the bleachers, but they're not allowed to touch live ones on the field. At that time, the play should have been ruled dead, and Jeter should have either been called out or awarded a ground rule double. The umpire, Rich Garcia, may not have had a good angle on the play because he ruled it as a game-tying home run. The game went into extra innings, and Bernie Williams hit a walk-off homer, giving the Yankees a 5-4 win. They went on to win the World Series that year, and the kid started to become a minor celebrity in New York. Garcia knew that he blew the call, admitting that he couldn't sleep that night and agonized over his mistake all winter. But this is back before video review was in use. So then, you know, if video review was a thing back then there's really little doubt that that call would have been overturned.
John, before we let you go, in today's game, who's the best umpire in today's game, according to the accuracy ratings?
All right, so the best umpire in today's game, he would have to be, well, I've got three of them for you. Pat Hoberg, Will Little, and Chris Siegel. They all have an accuracy rate of 93%, which is the absolute highest in the major league.
All right, and who's the worst? Who's got the lowest?
Right. So the worst, you've got Angel Hernandez. So in Game 3 in the 2018 American League Division Series with the Yankees and the Red Sox, five of his calls at the first base were reviewed, and four of them were overturned. And then we have C.B. Buckner. He was rated the worst in a 2010 ESPN Players poll and in a pair of Sports Illustrated polls in 2003 and 2006. He has been most criticized for his work behind the plate, and there are too many controversies to even mention about him. The Internet's full of complaints about him, though.
All right. Those are two good ones. They come to mind for me, too. John, great to have you on. I know you put a lot of work into the book. It's one that people can just sit down and read, and the umpires do a great job. They really do. But they have impacted the game from time to time, and you've done a nice job of chronicling that for everyone who enjoys reading about baseball. So thanks for being on. Have a good day, and we'll catch up with you again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Marty. Have a great day.
All right, that is John Weeks, the book, The Umpire Was Blind. And we've got more coming up, KMBR 680-1045, The Sports Leader.